Welcome to the Digital Analytics Power Hour. Tim, Michael, and the occasional guest discussing digital analytics issues of the day. Find them on Facebook at facebook.com/analytics hour. And now, the Digital Analytics Power Hour.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Digital Analytics Power Hour. This is episode 49. If you were in the digital analytics space in 2010, you probably started hearing about some crazy new tools that managed all the tags on your site. The ideas came from the long, painful delays between site updates at large enterprises where new marketing and measurement technologies waited to be launched. And so tag management was born. And back then, we used to tell people you could do it all without writing a line of code. We were so young and naive. Fast forward to today, and tag management is pretty standard. It's part of almost any new implementation, and everyone's on board with the idea. But where do we go from here? And that's what we're talking about on this episode. Thanks to a listener, Michael Lee, is also known as China Web Optimization on the Measure Slack, we wanted to talk about the future of tag management. Now, I know what you're saying. To provide balance to my co-host, Tim. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Michael.
And your extreme bias on these topics, we needed someone who is an expert, someone who has the respect of everyone in the TMS space. So we turned to the one and only Josh West. Josh is a senior partner at Analytics Demystified, where he guides clients in thinking through tag management and custom development projects. And prior to that, he held senior technical implementation roles at Salesforce and consulted at Omniture before that. He also taught Tim how to make a fine pizza pie.
Yes, he did.
Welcome to the show, Josh.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Good to chat with you guys for a little bit.
It is great. So I think what everyone's dying to know right off the gate is, what is your favorite tag management tool and why?
No. Oh, boy.
This gotcha journalism.
Yeah, there's a. If you go back through the blog archives, you'll find that one of the first blog posts I ever wrote at Demystified started an industry war. I had people from every company complaining to me that I had misrepresented or short shrifted them on there.
And lo, these many years later, you've almost recovered from that experience.
Yeah, but thanks for bringing that up. No, just kidding.
We'll be sure to include a link to that in the show notes.
Yeah, let's make sure. This is like, I do actually remember that blog post. And I remember some of the people in the building having the reactions they had to it and wondering, guys, you know that in a month or so, our tool is going to be owned by somebody else. Why are we getting so fired up about this blog post? But hey.
There's actually a backstory to that post. So the reason that it caused so many problems, the reason was because I had that post sitting ready to write for 2 months. And we kept hearing rumblings about said acquisition. And I wasn't sure how much I could say, and so I wrote the post and then published it without a pretty decent chunk of it because it had been sitting there for 2 months, and I'm like, is this ever going to happen? Is it not going to happen? And I had that material turned into a follow-up post the day after the acquisition was announced.
I feel like I'm going to have a little to contribute to this episode, but just for anybody who doesn't know exactly what we're talking about, that was the Satellite, the tag management platform created out of Search Discovery, where Mr. Helbling works, was then acquired by Adobe. Just in case anybody is not following along with exactly what we're referring to here.
Thank you, Tim.
There's my remedial translation.
Yeah. Josh and I descended right into the jargon of the industry. Yeah.
Well, and that tag management system for those of you who don't know, is the one that is now referred to as Adobe DTM.
Or Adobe TDM. I've heard any number of names, but yeah.
Dynamic tag manager, because we don't want a static tag manager. We want a dynamic tag manager.
And it's actually not dynamic tag manager, it's dynamic tag management for some reason.
See, I said you guys were going to get over my head very, very quickly. But TTM is Google Tag Manager. Oh, so it's not just one letter that's different. It's also a little, the suffix on the last word.
Exactly.
Good show. Good show. Yeah. I've learned a lot.
Josh, thank you so much for being on.
I think we've solved all the problems.
We have. Yeah. So, all right. But actually, so that is a really good question from Michael Lee. And one that I think probably, Josh, you've spent a lot of time thinking about just in your work as a consultant. I know this is something that I've spent a fair amount of time thinking about just because I'm trying to figure out where we all going with this. But I'd love to get your perspective and sort of broad strokes, sort of how do you see, you know, well, actually, maybe let's lay some groundwork around how tag management vendors have kind of proceeded through their life cycle and where they are all today, because that may give some clues. I don't know. Do you want to maybe give a state of the industry in broad terms?
Yeah, sure. So we actually kind of got to the place that it took web analytics or digital analytics to get to probably in about half the time. The space moved really fast, and I think you can really trace it back to that acquisition. So once there were two free products that were in the market, it kind of changed the way I think some of the companies in the space were, you know, started actually thinking about their product. They all started kind of thinking of other ways that they could differentiate and make money, because they were now in competition, not just with one free product, but two. And, you know, I think Google Tag Management or Google Tag Manager, you know, kind of started out as, you know, they mainly focused on Google tags and, you know, really small, simple to implement tags. And then all of a sudden, when Adobe bought Satellite, well, now there's a tag management system that you can get for free that's really sort of targeting the enterprise. And now GTM is really targeting the enterprise too, but at the time, I don't know that I would say that was the case. So, I mean, it kind of all goes back to that acquisition. And, you know, so what we've seen is that the tag management part, you know, I don't want to say it's become commoditized, but it sort of has. I think all of the tools are out there looking for other ways that they can kind of make money, that they can get their customers really hooked on their products and, you know, offer them some other things too. So, I also think that it was such a unique challenge that we faced before tag management, that once there were some tools out there that could really make your life easier, you know, everybody wanted one. You know,
right.
Whether they had to pay for it or not. So I think those two things kind of led us to reaching this point a lot faster than, you know, we're 15 or so years into digital analytics. And I think, you know, most of the companies that I work with are either using Adobe Analytics or Google Analytics. There are lots of other tools out there, and, you know, we run into them from time to time, but those two have sort of cornered the market, I guess you would say. And tag management is getting there a lot faster. It's definitely not going to take 15 years, I wouldn't say, to hit that point.
Yeah, I mean, I think I see the history very similarly. You know, I sort of view Google Tag Manager's launch as sort of the validation of the tag management as a space back in 2012 when they launched in late 2012. And yeah, to your point, their early product was, you know, kind of a starting point and not necessarily competitive with sort of the premier vendors of that time. But then fast forward 9 months with the acquisition of Satellite, and then things started moving really quickly. And, you know, Google Tag Manager, to their credit, has done a great job advancing that product. But yeah, I've also noticed that in the, what I'd say, sort of the initially pure play vendor space, so, you know, Signal, Tealium, Insight, and some of those, also in those years, pivots into additional products, right, to expand the product suite out past just the tag management tool, especially into what I'll call sort of DMP land, you know, in terms of sort of we're passing along all this data. Why don't we hold on to it too and build something? And I know that's a travesty of a way to talk about some of the products they've built. And certainly I have some fondness for a couple of them. So, but is that what you've seen too?
Yeah. And I think Signal, I had somebody tell me there a few months ago, they don't even consider themselves to be in the tag management space anymore.
Right.
So they still have the product. And
yeah, that's the starting product, but actually they'd like to sell you their main product now, which is sort of,
yeah,
as a company, they've kind of turned a corner away from being a tag management vendor. And I think, but that is instructive, or could potentially be instructive, about then where the future is going. Maybe. What do you think, Tim?
Well, so I not being as deep in the space, I sometimes wonder if this is a little bit of a land grab of a, you know, painting the future. I think every technology vendor wants to sell you kind of their vision and buy the stuff that's our vision. I feel like while I was trying to do a mental checklist of whether I've got any clients remaining who aren't on a tag management platform, and I did come up with two. They're smaller clients for me, large organizations, but the ones that are on it, even just doing the tag management, I feel like there's still opportunity within those tag managers to actually really help it drive governance better. So I actually worry a little bit about, hey, we're moving on to the next awesome thing because we have tag management implemented and we have our web analytics platform in place. But, you know, there was chatter. It seemed like it was going around maybe 6 months to a year ago. I think Rudy had some stuff on it about how, hey, you know, implementing a tag manager is a great opportunity to take a look at your tag governance, not just your web analytics tag, all of your tags. And I've got clients where, great, we're now deploying media pixels through the tag manager. That has a lot of upsides, but guess what? We're still not expiring them. We're still bloating our site with, you know, too many media tags. So I kind of get the idea of the dream of this more centralized, you know, source of tracking and collecting visitors across different things. But, and I think I'm naturally kind of a laggard when it comes to this stuff. I'm like, I don't know that I've really feel like we've hit the actual tag management out of the park.
Well, to some extent, governance has gotten worse, you know? I mean, I remember I kind of wrote a tag management system for Salesforce.com because they kept complaining about page load time and our site's slow, and we've got tags that are in all of these different templates. And so I spent, you know, 2 months digging through every template on the website and, you know, ripping out the tags, migrating them into this JavaScript library. And, you know, there were really only a handful of vendors that we were working with at that point. And once we had our, you know, kind of homegrown tag management system, it was amazing how the advertising team started coming with a new vendor every week. Hey, let's throw this tag up on the site. Because it's like all of a sudden it's easy. And just like you said, Tim, nobody ever says, oh, we're done with this tag. So we keep adding and adding and adding and never really removing the tags that that we're done with.
That's a good point, Josh, in terms of once you start making it easier, suddenly the demand for additional tags starts to ramp up. But I think that's part of what governance or can enable. And obviously, there's another part of governance, which is, well, why do we have this in the first place? That's got to be part of that equation, which TMSs in general and even homegrown systems don't really address. No, the other governance tools out there have never really combined with tag management in a way I think that could kind of evidence sort of a bigger governance picture, like Ghostery or ObservePoint and HubScan for scanning. Those could, somebody somewhere could stick those together potentially, and it would be very interesting, I think. But it's today they kind of live in two separate realms. Right. One is sort of like what's out there. The other one is how do we put it out there? Anyways, let's get back to tag management because governance, we've done that to death on this show.
Well, we did it once and that was enough for both of us.
Or at least we did it once with John Lovett. That was enough. Well, nobody likes to buy governance. It's not sexy.
Unlike tag management.
Tag management is very sexy. It's like, what tags you want to put on your website? Let's go.
Yeah, those first sales pitches were sexy and nothing else.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Oh, man.
Well, let me ask a, because Josh, you said you're kind of equating it to the ramp up and the curve for web analytics and how if you put web analytics at 15 years or whatever you want to call it, there was a very, very definitive pivot in web analytics where the underlying infrastructure kind of pivoted from weblogs and parsing weblogs to page tag based stuff. Has there been from day one with TagMan or Insightin or whoever claims they were first, has the basic underlying premise stayed exactly the same? Or have there been any kind of shifts where, wow, everybody was heading down this path and they all sort of decided, nope, we need to, and I don't even know what that would be, asynchronous versus synchronous or something. Has that sort of shift happened? Or do you think it started out at a spot where it was kind of the laws of the internet were better understood? So it's just kind of continuing to iterate on a better mousetrap from that initial jQuery in the DOM world?
Well, I mean, I think the basic premise has sort of stayed the same. You know, we're going to use a single JavaScript library to load tags, though all of the vendors have sort of dipped their toes into, is there a better way to do this? Can we load these tags? You know, Signal called it server direct and Telium calls it server to server. But there's this idea that, hey, you know, is there a better way to load these tags? Could we instead just push this data up to our servers and then have our servers figure out where to send it? I don't know that's not going to take on catch on in its current iteration, I don't think, just because, you know, the way that some of these tools work with identifying visitors and, you know, their reliance on cookies makes it really hard. I mean, I think it could eventually be the future, but I think it's probably going to take a couple of iterations and a little bit of a technology shift for us to actually get there.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it's that thing, the limitation of how servers can communicate versus how front-end technologies communicate. You just have a little bit more you can do on the front end than the back end.
Yeah, if you've ever had a client or your employer try to set their tags up that way, or even, you know, if you're just using like Adobe's data insertion API to push data up on the server, it's always a little bit of a black box, and testing it is kind of a pain. And it's just, you know, I'm sure someday somebody will figure it out, but I think it's going to take some time.
Well, and to a certain extent, kind of the value proposition in terms of being a differentiator for that is kind of sailed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I don't think like people are sitting through, well, maybe they are sitting through, you know, TMS RFPs where they're considering like, oh, well, this one does server to server versus this one that's just on the front. And maybe those conversations are still happening, but that's not our clients most for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, I think if anything is going to drive that, it's going to be mobile apps.
Oh, yeah. That's one unsolved piece, definitely.
Because, you know, when you're talking about the browser, you know, pretty much wherever you're using a web browser, your internet connection speed is good enough that, you know, if you load 20 little pixels on the site, on the page that you're looking at, and, you know, some of those are getting cached, or at least the JavaScript used to generate them is getting cached, then it's, you know, performance-wise, it's not that big of a hit. When you start talking about being on a 4G connection somewhere, or, you know, wherever you might find yourself, or you know, if you're on the subway and all of a sudden the connection drops and those tags need to be batched up and saved for when you come out from the underground, like that's a much more valid use case for it, I think. And so, and not to mention the fact that I don't know that any of the tag management vendors have really cornered the market on mobile tag management anyway. I think that mobile, if anything drives that server-to-server communication, it's going to be mobile.
And is that one just like technologically, is that one where it's chasing what Apple and Google are like the nature of the apps that's kind of cycling? That feels like it's been a little bit of a race to what can you do? What are you allowed to do and what can you do within apps? Is that still part of the challenge that's still sort of fluid and evolving? And so it's not kind of as stabilized as traditional the web, or is that not the issue?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest problem with mobile is that a mobile app has to be compiled. So unless you build your mobile app using like HTML5 and then like you wrap it in a PhoneGap wrapper or something like that, unless you do something like that, then your native app is compiled, and anytime you release new functionality, it's a new update to the App Store. And, you know, it's just a lot different. You know, with JavaScript, with a website, you know, it's pretty easy to, you know, find something on the page you want to track and hook some tracking up to it. Now, you might not have all the data you want, but you can implement stopgaps and quick fixes and things like that with, you know, with pretty quick and dirty JavaScript. You really can't do that with a mobile app. I mean, I think, you know, it might take some collaboration between Apple and Google and some of these vendors to kind of come up with something that works. And my guess is that Apple and Google are not going to be super thrilled about that type of collaboration.
Yeah, but you know who's really good at mobile phones is Samsung.
Okay. Winter is coming, so it's
good. Yeah, it's right. Throw an old Samsung on the fire. How are we going to start this fire in the middle of winter? Hold on.
Let me take a call.
Let me charge this phone. Well, there's a secondary market for those then. It's kindling. Oh, man. I'm sure that's all been resolved by now.
So how, and I know, Josh, you can spend half a day talking about this because I've seen you sort of talk about it, but how easily is it to hit like the three or four things that are the things about a tag manager? I mean, I'm sure there are plenty of people who are listening who already have a tag manager. There are plenty of people who are listening who say, well, we've got GTM because we're a GA shop and GTM was free. But I am still a little fuzzy on, I mean, I know that you've got preferences for different tag managers in different situations. And we sort of discussed, we weren't going to have you name which ones those were in which cases, but what are sort of the things that you say, wow, if you're doing X, then you really need a tag manager that supports that, and they don't all support that, or maybe that's not the right way to frame it.
Well, I mean, I guess the first question that I always ask clients is, you know, do you plan to deploy your A/B testing solution through your tag management system? Because if you do, that's going to eliminate a few things right off the bat.
And is that the ability to deploy an asynchronous tag? Is that the key phrase to, okay.
It's actually the ability to deploy a synchronous, not,
yeah.
In other words, a blocking script so that the A/B test can run without screen flicker.
Yeah. So Satellite and Insighten were both built, you know, with that in mind, and Telium pretty quickly came out with something that would work for theirs too. Google, I think, is going to get there because they've got this Google Optimize product. In fact, I think they might even be beta testing something now that will allow you to deploy Optimize through GTM. So they're going to get there too. Signal never really took it on. So, I mean, I guess too, like if there are other tags, I mean, it's, you just need to, you know, put Optimize or your Adobe Target in the head of your site and outside of your tag management system, then, you know, you can probably survive. But, you know, what other types of things do you want to do? That, you know, that's kind of the first decision you have to make, because you can eliminate a couple of tools right off the bat if, you know, if that's an absolute must for you. But, you know, so that's one thing to think about. I think the next thing is like to think about your stack. So if, you know, if you're a Google shop or you're an Adobe shop and 90% of the tags that you use are those, you know, Google has integrations with pretty much all of its tags built right in to help you out. And Adobe is kind of the same way with DTM. And the other systems, you know, they offer all those integrations as well. They also offer integrations with a lot of other tools out there. You know, let's take DTM for example. So DTM has integrations with pretty much all of the Adobe products, as you'd expect, and then with Google Analytics. And if you want to deploy other tags, you can. But you have to be prepared to write the code yourself. And I think a lot of companies are not really prepared for that, because all of the tools out there, I think in the sales process, they kind of tell you, oh, you never have to write code again. And that's not really the case. And then even sometimes, you know, you might think, oh, well, Google has this this integration with Floodlight, or, you know, one of the other, you know, all the vendors offer these integrations with Floodlight, DFA, and you're like, oh, well, this is great. And then you realize that, no, I still have to do a little customization. So it's, I mean, not just to pick on Adobe, because sometimes I think, you know, the sales guy tells you, oh yeah, we integrate with DoubleClick, or we integrate with Adobe Analytics. Well, the fact that they integrate with them does not mean that, you know, it's just cut and dry plug and play for you. You're still gonna have to do some work.
It's not necessarily as smooth and easy and turnkey as Genesis integration.
Oh.
Now there are tools out there that if you really go to the effort of building a really good data layer and things like that, then you can probably hand over the integration of a lot of simple marketing tags to your marketers and just kind of turn them loose. I don't know that's a good thing. I have some ideas about how much you want to do that. But, you know, there are tools out there with a really slick UI. Somebody can go in and add a tag pretty quickly without a lot of effort. But I think sometimes the promise is that they all do that. And that's not really been my experience. I don't know if you feel the same way, Michael.
No, I'm very pleased that most vendors in the space have stopped saying you never have to write a line of code again. And the other thing, because the initial use case for tag management was to get around IT deployment cycles, there is this concept, and frankly, a lot of marketing and IT organizations across lots of different companies don't exactly get along great. But this concept of sort of an anti-type nature, where marketing was going to get its own way instead and not let IT control what they could do, is actually working at cross purposes in a lot of cases to what should actually be happening to kind of make digital experiences better. And so actually what I've seen work the best is that tag management, instead of using it to get away from, actually becomes a collaboration point, so that better governance and better collaboration happens, so that IT still owns the digital site, but marketing has a way to get their priorities or needs met, And when those kind of, when it happens that way, I feel like it's much more productive. And so tag management kind of, I feel like in the last 3 years has kind of slowly pivoted towards a much more useful framework, which is not about let's get around IT and never talk to them again or never write code again, but rather let's use this tool to kind of manage all of our stuff so we have one place where we can get tagging done effectively, efficiently, and move us forward together. So, you know, my dream is marketing and IT strolling along hand in hand. But it also brings us to where is the future going and what will happen in the year 2000.
In the year 2000.
Come on, Tim, you got to do it.
What?
Do you know the old Conan sketch?
No.
In the year 2000. All right, never mind.
I'll make a pop culture reference that Tim will pick right up on.
I'm living for the day, Tim.
Keep throwing them out there. I'll get one of them.
That's right. Someday it's going to happen. That's also my dream. So maybe we should, because we're talking about tag management in the future, let's talk about data layers.
We haven't really talked about the future, actually.
Well, we're getting to it. We're warming up to it, Tim. This is all context building.
Narcolepsy inducing.
There are 5 or 6 people who are probably going to find this very interesting. Thank you very much. Okay. Josh, me, and our immediate families. Yeah. So
I hope that Michael Lee does too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do we want to not talk about data layers? Is that what I'm hearing?
No, I think data layers are good because it kind of builds into, I think my vague understanding of where you guys kind of agree on the future.
Yeah. Your Honor, I'm going somewhere with this.
Okay. I'll allow it.
I'll allow it. There you go. What does this have to do with bird law? All right. Did you get that one, Tim?
No, I did not.
It's another It's Always Sunny reference given
son
our
of a, son of
yeah.
A.
All right. So I think it's pretty standard, Josh, and I don't know. I feel like you probably see a broader cross section. So I'm wondering if you see any different, but it's pretty standard now to incorporate a data layer into most tag management implementations. And certainly maybe for a minute, we set aside Google's data layer concept because it's a little bit different from a structural perspective. But what have you seen out there? Or is that true? Or does that sound right to you?
Yeah, we push all of our clients to have a data layer because, I mean, it makes everything so much easier when you're implementing tag management. If you don't have a data layer, if you're sort of relying on scraping the DOM and stuff like that, then, you know, you can get by with it, but you're going to have just as much work as you did before.
Right. Well, and if you ever do A/B test, then suddenly you break things because you're changing elements on the page.
Right. Exactly.
And yeah. No, so I think that's right. And it's interesting because, you know, coming from the satellite background that I came from, you know, we obviously were building a tool so people could kind of do that any way they wanted to and not forcing the issue. But more and more, I think it's right to kind of try to at least insist that this is the way you want to go. Is this the best practice? But that does bring to mind the fact that it is probably the biggest risk to successful tag management and digital analytics implementations in terms of success, because you have to incorporate site development in the process in a way that's not always well understood in terms of what a data layer is and how to do it. So that's one thing we certainly run into. And so we built a lot of tools to kind of help collaborate with developers and teach them how to do it. But I'm not sure. And I think there's some stuff happening to make data layers easier. And certainly, you know, like I think Tealium's data layer is pretty straightforward. And
the other really great thing about theirs is the way that it just is, like, it's baked right into the product.
Yeah.
It's sort of, I know eventually we're going to talk about, you know, where is the market going? And the fact that they built their data layer like that allowed them to do some really cool stuff with some of their other product. So when I say it's baked right in, a lot of times when you build a data layer, if you give a developer the responsibility for coming up with how the data layer should look, they're going to think about it in a way that, you know, they want it to be, I'm trying to think of the best way to describe this. So they're going to think of it in terms of a hierarchy. So, you know, I go to a page and the page loads and there's a couple of different groups of data that I might care about. So there's data, you know, I might want to know about the page. What's its name? What's its type? There's data I might want to know about the visitor or that user. What's his user ID? What type of visitor is he or she? you know, product information. So like what products are they looking at? And so a developer goes in and thinks about a data layer like a developer would. They say, I'm going to make this one big hierarchical object. And if I need to find the page name, then I have to drill down into the hierarchy to find, you know, the right place. I have to look in not just in the data layer, but in the page object. And inside the page object, I have to look for the name. Tealium basically said, hey, we're going to make our data layer flat. Everybody needs to have a flat data layer. And the reason we want it to is because we want when you log into our UI, we want to make it really easy for you to find things, to map them, to pass them to different tags. So, you know, a JavaScript developer would probably look at Tealium's data layer and say, well, this is kind of weird. But it kind of simplified things, I think, from within their UI. But yeah, I mean, it's when you build your data layer in Tealium, it's set up in a way that makes it really easy to use that data within the tool. Where the other products, they don't really restrict you. They kind of let you do whatever you want, which is both good and bad. I mean, it allows you to come up with a really hierarchical, semantical data object, and that's great. It does sometimes make it a little bit less intuitive to take advantage of the data within the tool.
Yep. Well, and DTM launched that AEM integration, which you can steal from and add a custom data layer schema to, which then populates data elements. So they're making moves toward that more friendly model that Tealium introduced without necessarily putting you into a flat data layer structure, which is kind of nice.
AEM being Adobe Experience Manager. Adobe.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
I feel like there's... No, I get it. I'm thinking there that I kind of bounce across different clients, so I'm following most of these, but
Tim, would it surprise you to learn that you're probably actually more technical than I am?
I think we could do a whole episode debating that.
Okay. Well, that might be what this episode is right now.
The pre-show when I volunteered that the first time I ever saw the inside of a tag manager was you standing at my desk showing it to me. So, and I was like, "What are you talking about? What do you mean?" This div tag. Okay, maybe that's a little bit of an extreme.
Okay, but that was probably about 3 weeks after I started working at Search Discovery. But before that point, I didn't even know what a CSS selector was. So I'm just a quick study.
Oh, okay.
No. But you're right. And kind of taking data layers and consuming them into the tools in more friendly ways is absolutely a thing that every tag management tool should do. But also data layers themselves can really help companies standardize on common pieces of data that they can use kind of across a lot of different things. So it's generally a good thing. All right. So next question, what's the future look like?
Which is that's the core premise of.
Yeah. Well, Tim, we're building up to it. Okay. It's like with any TMS implementation, you can't just go slapping the tags on the page. You got to do a lot of work up front.
Implement one line of code, just put this bootstrap.js and you'll never work with IT again.
And then let your developer spend the next 5 years writing CSS selectors to find the... No, but I mean...
That's right.
I mean, I think that the future, I mean, we've talked about a few things. So, I do think that at some point there'll be something that happens for mobile apps that, you know, whether it makes server to server more usable, more realistic. I think that's something to think about. Whether it's something that makes mobile tag management a little bit easier to do, you know, that might be something that comes along. But, you know, I also think you got to look at what all of these different vendors are doing. So, I mean, we've talked a little bit about the fact that none of them really consider their tag management system to be, well, maybe it's still their core business, but not their only thing they do anymore. So if you look at what some of them are doing, so let's start, I always go in alphabetical order so I don't offend anyone, but Insighten has...
So you skipped Adobe?
Well, okay.
You're calling that D.
Yes.
Okay.
No, I still am.
That's still before. Oh man, you just offended. Paging Ben Gaines. Paging Ben Gaines.
Well, okay, so let's go back. So Adobe DTM. So I mean, the reason I skipped Adobe is because it sort of no longer
because
he
thinks they're the best.
It no longer became their core offering when Satellite was acquired by Adobe. So Adobe does lots of different things.
It's part of the marketing cloud.
It's part of the marketing cloud.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if I was at Summit and, you know, there were some sessions on DTM, but it's a really small piece of the whole thing. I mean, even Adobe Analytics was probably not really the core focus of the Summit this year, which is probably really weird for some of us that have been going for years and years and years. But I mean, I think Adobe DTM is just part of the marketing cloud. And Cyton, you know, they've got all kinds of products. They acquired Animetrics, so they've got a tool for analytics. They've got, I can't even remember what the name of it is, but the tag testing tool. They've got a, you know, something, I think, smaller but similar to, you know, what a tool like ObservePoint does, where they can actually set up some monitoring for you. They've got their optimization platform, which is relatively new for them. So they've got lots of stuff. Telium has AudienceStream, which is the one that I think people ask me the most about. Hey, have you seen AudienceStream? And that kind of goes back to the fact that their data layer is so tightly coupled with their platform that it basically allowed them to push that data anywhere you want it to go, including back to their servers, where then you can push it out in all kinds of different ways. It basically, I mean, you mentioned DMP. I mean, AudienceStream is kind of like a first party DMP for them.
Right.
And so, you know, they're still pushing out updates weekly for their Telium IQ, their tag management system. But I think AudienceStream is getting a lot of their focus right now because there's a lot of people that are interested in a tool like that. And then Signal has Fuse. I think they still call it Fuse. I think they still call it Fuse. But it's a similar idea, and it's more of a platform. So where all of these tools were, you know, they started out as, you know, basically JavaScript manipulation tools, it's much more about the data now.
Right.
Well, Insight has something that sounds similar to that too, right? They're all sort of saying,
yeah, Insight has Activate, which is like takes the data and stuff on your website and allows you to kind of personalize and act on it in real time.
So unless this goes way down a rabbit hole, is the Adobe, because we talked about Adobe being kind of the suite in the platform, does the marketing cloud ID concept for Adobe, is that them doing similar to what kind of the TMS-driven ones that are saying we can identify and push and share this data across different systems, or is that me trying to draw a parallel that's not fair?
No, it's not exactly the same because Adobe's got Audience Manager, which is their DMP product.
Right. So right, but that's because
they have a separate complete DMP that can house first, second, third party data. So DTM inside of the marketing cloud fits in what they're calling activation, right? Which is, how do you set up the marketing cloud in your organization? You use activation to make it all happen. Or before it was called core services, right? But today they basically now the mobile SDK and DTM sit inside this construct called activation. So you'll hear Adobe talk about it like that. And the idea is that all these other things become enabled from these core services, right, from there. So tag management in that construct fits in terms of supporting all the other pieces of the marketing cloud, which is great for Adobe, not so great for people who don't have a marketing cloud, right? And so that makes the question wonder, like, okay, well, Salesforce just bought a DMP, you know, or another DMP. I don't know how many they own now, but Crux, you know, was acquired a little while back. So could they be in the market for a TMS at some point to kind of fulfill or fill out that competitive landscape? And to the same extent, Google, right, doesn't have a marketing cloud. They have a measurement suite, but it's also a marketing cloud. They just like to say that it's not a marketing cloud, but they have a DMP that they're coming out with, right? They have a tag management tool, but it's all going to basically do the same thing.
Just to back up a little bit, specifically, I'm talking about the marketing cloud ID, like in what Adobe was when they were pitching.
Yeah, but you don't have to use tag management to enable the marketing cloud visitor ID service.
Absolutely. I understand that.
You want to talk about visitor stitching, kind of.
I think, because it seems like that's what a lot of these other vendors are doing, is saying, we can kind of collect this in multiple places. We can, I think in Insight's case, they're saying, we'll generate an ID and drop our ID, and then we can push that out to a DMP. Or these other ones, just because you don't have a DMP doesn't mean you can't play in the, be it visitor stitching or just visitor identification. Like, it's still, nothing you said, Michael, makes me think that no part of the core of this isn't two similar but different ways of skinning this cat of I want to get as close to a 360 degree view of the customer without naming my product 360, which has nothing to do with really a 360 degree view of the customer. Thank you, Google.
Well, hey, Adobe was first at making weird names for their products. Thank you very much. And to be fair, Tim, I'm not saying that strategy is good, bad, or indifferent. I'm just trying to explain how Adobe explains their product suite. I'm not trying to say that's what everybody should do. Well,
but I guess what I'm saying is you have a DMP or you're using a DMP, whether it's part of your core stack and you're on the Adobe stack or the future Google stack or whatever, I want to be able to pass information, you know, go back 3 years, 4 years, and my DMP says, drop this pixel directly on your site so that we can identify these folks for retargeting or audience development. We've kind of moved a little beyond that of saying, well, gee, you shouldn't just be dropping a dumb pixel that all we know is whatever we passed in that pixel. You've got a data layer, enrich that data a little bit. Maybe you're shoving it to the other from Adobe to Adobe for the DMP. Maybe you're shoving it from, you know, Google to Blue Sky. But the tag management with the data layer with a cookie is kind of what's enabling that, right? Or am I, I'm way off base?
Yeah. I mean, but this is where it gets complicated because, and again, you know, this is where my point of view kind of diverges from where a lot of the vendors in the space are going, is I kind of think it doesn't make sense to try to make a TMS a backbone of a DMP. It's just get a DMP.
Well, but if you get a real DMP, you still have to feed the DMP. You're saying, but what?
Well, of course. So do the tagging in your TMS, but use, and so that's where I kind of have this thing is sort of like, I get, and actually, you know, I personally have not had the opportunities to work with some of those tools, but I've heard a lot of very positive things about, especially Tealium Audience Streams. So I'm not trying to say there's negative things about those tools, but they're not pure DMPs yet.
But I don't know. Are they trying to be?
I don't know that they want to be either. I mean, Insighten's their unique ID may be a little different, but I mean, I don't think Tealium wants Audience Stream to be like that. I mean, I don't think any of them are really trying to become DMPs. But
yeah, and I have a somewhat cynical view in terms of I think DMPs today attract a lot of venture attention and acquisition attention. So in a certain sense, I'm like, yes, they do want to be DMPs because they need somebody to eventually help them exit. But that's a more of a financial question. You know, my point of view about the future of tag management is that it needs to return to where it came from, which is we all run our websites off of content management systems. And in reality, the tags we manage are just pieces of content to serve a different purpose. And that integration should just keep happening. We need to get closer and closer so that I can run my website and my tags all in the same place. I can govern all assets, including my tags, in the same place. And I don't know what that looks like because I don't like the idea if you buy a CMS, you're suddenly locked into that TMS. Like you should still have some freedom of choice, but wouldn't it be nice if vendors were addressing that so that there was really tight integration? So if I was on AEM or if I was on Sitecore or if I was on Dot or whoever's cool in the CMS space today, my TMS is just a sort of an integrated aspect of that.
Doesn't that cover, that covers your content tags, but then when you go to the your user or visitor attributes, now you've got to rely on your CMS to be integrated with your whatever CRM or wherever that might be passing other tags. I mean, I totally agree with you.
Well, ideally, tag management would just let you deploy any marketing or measurement technology you want.
No. But I'm saying, I'm talking more of the data layer. Like, as Josh was talking about, when I visit a page, I mean, at the core, there's sort of two things. What am I viewing and doing? And who am I, right?
Yeah, there's state data, there's page data, for lack of a better word, and then there's you data, event data. And so all of those things map into your data layer, but you can pass those around once they're in a data layer anywhere you want. But it's more about, you know, just bringing it back to where it all started, which is that, you know, in essence, it should have all been built into content management from the beginning. Or at least that is just one guy's opinion. And certainly, you know, the move into, you know, kind of, you know, some of the other vendors in the space into sort of what I would say towards DMPs, and maybe it's unfair to call them that, and they define it differently. So I don't want to belabor that, but that I feel like is an area, but I feel like I don't see a strong future for that, because the more appetite I get for a DMP, the more I want to use a DMP and the less I need to use one that isn't truly a DMP.
Mind blown.
I mean, I don't know.
Josh, you still there? He's gone.
I need some balance.
Yeah. I think I agree with you. I mean, I hope that they're not trying to turn themselves into DMPs, because there are already some pretty good tools out there that do that. I mean, I think that the real power really is, you know, we've got all this data and what can we do with it? So, I mean, so here's an example. So when I first started Demystified, I remember I went and sat in a demo of Web Trends Streams. And, you know, Web Trends sort of focused that on, you know, data visualization. Like, this looks really cool. And sort of right at the very end of the conversation, they were like, yeah, and we're kind of talking with some vendors, like an email vendor, about, you know, maybe doing some remarketing where we can take this real-time data and remarket to customers. And I was like, oh, that's actually kind of cool. Like, I don't know what CEO is going to pay for data visualization like this, but, like, when it's real-time data with a purpose, that's much cooler. And like, I don't know that ever totally materialized. And then, you know, fast forward a year or so, and I saw a demo of Telium's audience stream. And I was like, wow, like, this is actually kind of what they were talking about. This is what Web Trends was saying, hey, this is, you know, like another use case we came up with. That's kind of where I think, you know, we've got all this data, what can we do with it? How can we push it out to these vendors, not just so that they can, like, keep stats, but so that they can act on it in real time, so that they can push data back down to the visitor as they engage with the site that might make them more likely to convert? Or, you know, maybe we can remarket to them in a different channel, like we can send them an email, or, you know, can we, that's the kind of thing that I think is the real power of what do you do with the data? Like, I don't know that, you know.
Yeah, I agree with that. The whole point of leveraging this data is to do something different for different people at the point in time that they need something different done, whether that be a different experience, a different offer, whatever it is. And so to the extent that you can do that with your own site, awesome. To the extent that you can go outside to other vendors and have them leverage that data in real time, that's also awesome. I just think it doesn't necessarily have to happen in the context of sort of, you know, it living inside of the TMS.
I've got to have my dose of extreme skepticism. Like the gap between we have all this data and here are things we can do with it. I mean, I feel like that is like the bane of the whole industry's existence. And that's how 70% of the stuff gets sold is, hey, you can't.
Tim, you've got so much data. Just collect it all. We'll figure out what to do with it later.
It is so easy to draw. I mean, and the Web Trends is a great example, because I remember the same thing. Like they had to have this visualization, but they talk about it and you're like, well, wait a minute. Are you saying that you're going to have somebody just sitting watching the visualization? Clearly the visualization is just an illustration of what the data is. But guess what? You've got to actually operationalize the integration to trigger that stuff. You know, it's marketing automation falls in the same track, that you can have all this glorious nurturing program that's personalized and tailored content. But guess what? You need the content. You have to actually generate stuff and plan. And that's, I still get nervous when the vendors are kind of driving the discussion and saying, these are the things we can do. And that's great. But then to get from somebody to saying, I have the resources, I'm willing to make the investment and then stick with it, because it's going to be painful and the devil's in the flipping details to actually pull this off. And instead what happens is I get the vision, I have the resources, I invest in it, and I don't have the fortitude to actually really plan it out. And it's not driven by, this is specifically the three things that I'm going to do and I'm going to relentlessly march towards that. It's kind of a buy the tool and then we'll do all these cool things. And there's a crap ton of business process work that has to be done to get there. Rant over. End rant.
Yeah. It immediately makes me think about the personalization episode with Matt Gershoff, where we talk about sort of that scaling limit, you know, as you go into more and more personalization, how do you do that at scale? Anyway, this is great. Josh, thank you so much for coming on the show. Your insights are profound and well-balanced, I would say. So that's way different than what we usually have just when it's Tim and me. So thank you so much. But we also love to do a segment on each show called Last Call. And we just kind of go around and talk about anything we've seen recently that we think is interesting, helpful tool, interesting article, whatever it is. So I will open it up to who wants to go first.
But I'll start since you stole the guy's name from me. This falls is sort of interesting and I don't fully understand it. But Matt Gershoff from Conductrix wrote a couple of blog posts back a couple of months ago, and I can't quite let them go because I don't fully understand them, and I've read them two or three times and he'll tell me that I do understand them and I don't. But there's one is, I think the first one that he wrote was about prediction pooling and shrinkage, which is a fascinating topic and talks about sort of how you can kind of look at the data that you're working with and kind of split it and kind of work with it in different ways. And then he followed that up with one that's segmentation and shrinkage. And I aspire to someday fully understand everything that's in it, but they are kind of intriguing posts that I recommend checking out. And if you say, wow, that went way over my head, then you're in company with me. If you say, oh, we're talking frequentist versus Bayesian, I know that, and I have a strong opinion, then you're more in Gershoff's company. But I recommend him. It's kind of a good way to sort of realize there's always places to grow.
Nice. All right, Josh, you got one?
Yeah, so mine is actually, it's not like a blog post or something that I found out there. It's actually a conversation that I had, and it's actually, it was with Tim last week. So last week, Tim and I were doing some planning, and I think it was a good reminder to me that no matter what you do...
Use really small words? Oh, no. That's...
no matter what you do, there's somebody else out there that wants to know more about it or doesn't quite understand it. And, you know, sometimes I think, so what facilitated the conversation was, you know, we were talking about, I was saying, you know, I wish I get all these ideas for blog posts. And then I'm like, nobody really wants to know about that because I'm more on the technical side. And I think most of the people in this industry come from a little bit different perspective than I do. I don't know that developers really care to know my insights either, because it's not really, you know, my development expertise is definitely more focused on the digital analytics space. And Tim immediately wrote down 5 blog posts. He's like, these are 5 things that I think you could tell me more about that I'd like to know more about. And I was like, oh, well, this is great, because it's the kind of thing that I'd come up with that idea and I'd be like, oh, that's so simple, nobody cares. But it's to, you know, to somebody that thinks like I do, maybe, but, you know, you guys could write a bunch of blog posts. And I'd be like, oh, wow, this is great. I never thought of that. It's just, you know, sometimes I think we have tunnel vision. We only see the world through our own eyes. And it was just a good reminder to me that, you know, everybody has something that they can offer other people. They just need to figure out exactly what it is.
So by the time people are listening to this podcast, this episode, and the time it comes out, and you're like, man, I noticed Josh West has been blogging like crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
Those are some great topics.
Tim Wilson, taking credit. Actually, but Josh, I'm going to take what you just said, and I'm going to replay it for a bunch of people on my team, because this is not just you, but a lot of people who, and I even early on in earlier years felt that way too, and be like, oh, nobody wants to know about this. And then you eventually write that blog post and it's like, everyone's reading this on your blog and like, hey, that was a really good article. And you're like, oh, I guess people do. There are people who find that helpful, and it's a really good learning. So thanks for sharing that. And that's, I'm going to use that as corroboration for what I tell people as well. All right. My last call, since we're talking a little TMS, I'm going to jump into a little tool that was developed by a homie of mine, by Jim Gordon. It's a tool called Tagtician, which is sort of ride along with Dynamic Tag Manager. It's a nice little tool for leveraging some of the features better and getting some better information about Adobe DTM. I don't know if they have plans to build it out for maybe other tools, but it's really cool what they've built so far. So I'm giving a little shout out. Go Jim Gordon and Tagtician. Yeah. All right. Well, as you've been listening to this, our pre-anti-penultimate episode of the year, which is our fourth to last episode of the year. I just had to find a way to work that in, and then I screwed up the pronunciation. Oh, whatever. I'm sure you've been thinking, oh my gosh, Michael, you are so wrong about the future of TMS, and Josh is so right, or perhaps vice versa. And if it is vice versa, we'd love to hear about it on the Measure Slam. I'm just kidding. If you have thoughts or questions or want to talk about what we discussed about tag management, love to hear from you, both on our Facebook page, Twitter, on the Measure Slack. I think you're on the Measure Slack, Josh. If you're not, you will be, because I think people are going to be banging on your door soon.
I am. I sort of lurk okay. on there. Every once in a while, I'll make a small contribution. I'm definitely not as active as either of you two, though.
Fair enough. I just basically exist to be that weird drunk helps icon. So it's like, I'm like, is this going to be my claim to fame? This is getting used a lot. Anyways, it's okay. Just go with it. Anyway, we'd love to hear from you. Great conversation. Again, with most of our shows, we feel like we just scratched the very tippy top of the surface, and certainly feels that way here. Thank you, Josh, for coming on and balancing out Tim's extreme bias. You could kind of tell which tool he liked the best the whole time.
It's what Jim Wilson you showed him at his desk.
Yeah, exactly. That was probably satellite back
then. It was definitely satellite.
Oh, okay, so there you go. Just like I was shown satellite by Evan LaPointe.
He showed it to me too.
See, there you go.
Who did he not show it to?
Exactly. I didn't know. Anyways, it's been great to have you. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Josh. It's been a pleasure. And for all of you listening out there in analyst land, because it's a TMS episode, keep tagging.
Thanks for listening. And don't forget to join the conversation on Facebook, Twitter, or Measure Slack group. We welcome your comments and questions. Facebook.com/analytics hour or at analytics hour on Twitter.
So smart guys wanted to fit in, so they made up a term called analytics. Analytics don't work.
I'll say a word, and Josh, you just say the first thing that comes to your mind.
Okay.
All right.
This is going to get me in trouble. Crap! You can't repeat that. See, I told you.
I pay very close attention to what Joseph Stanhope is doing.
Thanks for that outtake.
Okay. Well, I think we've got our first topic. I mean, what's the most important thing on a pizza? The dough, the sauce, or the cheese? So apparently the fourth to last is the pre-antepenultimate. So I think that's definitely getting used. I know. I guess I'm still a little offended that he was like on a show about Digital Analyst Power Hour, please bring on somebody who knows about tag management. And I was like, ooh.
That's awesome.
This is awesome. You've got some visitors. It's okay. We'll fix it in post. Don't worry about it.
There's no lock on this door, and I warned my wife beforehand. She had to keep the kids out, and they've snuck away.
No, it's fine. It's quite all right.
That's hilarious. Adorable. Rock flag and tag management.